Other than that, we'll get started. Our moderator this morning is Representative Rahm Amstutz, who serves Wayne County and is the Speaker pro tem of the House of Representatives. So he's one under Speaker Rosenberger in the leadership of the House. And the other members, Mr. Amstutz is going to have them introduce themselves. So without further ado, I'll hand it over to Representative Amstutz.
Thank you, Director. Good morning. I have an opening question. I would like an honest show of hands of those who visited the inner sanctum of LSC earlier this morning. My, okay, thank you. I'm not quite sure how to interpret that, whether you are simply early risers, quick starters, or naive, I think you made a wise choice, you that raised your hands.
Get to know it.
Our effectiveness in the legislature is driven heavily by the professional and very effective help that we get from the Legislative Service Commission in a number of ways, which I will not go into because that's not why we're here. But I did want to mention that and thank those of you that took that opportunity. I hope others of you will find time or make time at some point to have them show you that inner sanctum that many legislators never even visit, quite honestly. So, well, we are here again to help each other, especially as you're getting started. I threatened, usually I don't do this in prayers, but to, you know, try to give you protection from drowning in the flood of information coming at you in the prayer last night at dinner, for those of you that were there. But today we have, the panel has dwindled a bit because Lame Duck is actually a fairly active duck, even though it's lame. So they're getting dragged in different directions. And so some of our veteran legislators are trying to solve problems here before we go home. But we have a distinguished panel here now, and I look forward to interacting with them. The senator, and protocol, despite the fact that the House likes to put a little jab into the Senate, is by protocol the one that usually gets to go first if they wish, or if they're in a debate, they usually want to go last because that's an advantage. But Senator Manning, if you'd want to say a little bit about just a thing or two that we should know about you, and then in your opening comment, add a few thoughts that you think would be helpful to these newer members who are aspiring to engage in effective ways as legislators. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ron. And Ron is one of the reasons we hate to see term limits, because we're losing a great, great guy there. He will be county commissioner, but we're certainly going to miss him and his wealth of knowledge that he has. So. Thank you all for being here this morning. It just seems I've been in 6 years. It seems like just yesterday I was here. I have learned a tremendous amount in that 6 years. No one probably has come as unprepared as I did 6 years ago. I was a third grade teacher. I came right from the classroom to here. And I remember when they said to me, we want to put you with a good staff, and which I suppose meant I didn't know what I was doing, didn't know where I was going, had no idea where the bathrooms were. Ladies, you don't have to wait in line anymore for bathrooms at the State House. So that's a good thing. But to come in here and having no idea what you're doing, you need good staff. So, try to get somebody that, especially if you're not that experienced, try to get somebody that's pretty experienced. And I did, and it really helped a lot. But one of the things that you need to really use is LSC. They are just absolutely fabulous. You've got to, be very kind to them. We were just talking yesterday about how bad we feel for them. We constantly are calling them up saying, give us all this information, and we want it tomorrow. we're waiting on the floor for amendments and, very, very impatient, and they're trying to get it right. And we're like, hey, it's been 15 minutes. We don't have that amendment yet. So they are fabulous people and do great work. And anything that you need, they will help you with. But one of the interesting things about me, I think, is the fact that, number one, when I came in here and I had no idea, I was having trouble getting things passed, and I can remember talking to one senator saying, you know, this bill is overwhelming, I don't know what to do, and he said, trust me, Gail, you know, I've been working on this for years, this is a great bill, and I think it was the only bill that Governor Kasich vetoed, so I learned to go back to my district. And, you know, you have to remember to go back to the people that put you here. And you find the people that are experts, and you go back. And sometimes these bills are moving very quickly. It doesn't hurt to sit there and say to people that say, we've got to vote on this tomorrow, we need to slow this down, I need to talk to people back home. You know, make those phone calls and find out where they're standing on that. Use your skills that you have. One of the things that I found is that I was having trouble getting things done. And I thought, what are my skills? And my skills were a third grade teacher. And once I start...
Pretty good level to... Yeah.
Don't tell the other senators this, but once I figured out that, you know, I could use my skills as a third grade teacher against my colleagues, I got a lot more done. So don't tell them that. And there is a lot of digging that goes on between the House and the Senate, but unfortunately, that never happens with me. I love the House. And probably because my son is in the House.
Right.
And so I've had the opportunity to get to know many great people here, and I find that a real asset. I think we have to realize how important it is. We're working together, and if we can't, you know, if you can get something done in the Senate or the House, it doesn't help any if you can't get it done in the other one. So you've got to make those connections with each other. As we all know, it all has to do with the fact that, you know, it's what you have going for you. You know, you've got to make those connections and make sure that you've made those connections with each other so that you feel good about that. Other than that, you know, I think one of the things that I can remember when I came in, President Niehaus was here, and he said, this job will overwhelm you. It will take every breath out of you. And when you're down here, you are working from, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning to midnight. There are days that we've been sitting in caucus at midnight and still talking about bills that we're gonna be voting on in the next few days. And you wanna have a good understanding of that, because let's face it, you only know the bills that you are in committee for. You don't understand the other bills. So you need, you know, your colleagues to explain these to you. It's hard to keep up with it. So, you know, your caucus is a great way of being able to have people vet and say, you know, what's good and what's bad about it. So I remember Tom Niehaus telling me, make sure you know, take some time, you know, walk around the State House, go outside and, you know, sit for a few minutes and just think, you know, get some exercise. And, you know, it was a great advice. I probably don't take advantage of it as much as I should, but, you know, go grab that cup of coffee with a friend or a colleague or just somebody that happens to be down here, and don't feel bad about it. You know, I think that's really important. Your health is so important, and you need to decompress. It's overwhelming. It really is. If you do the job correctly, you know, you're going to be getting a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, and you need to make sure you look at them all and answer them all. I remember telling my staff, give me a different color folder, and it's my constituent folder, and everything goes in there, any phone calls, any emails, anybody from my district, it goes in there. I read it. I look at it. We talk about how I might not answer them all myself. You know, they do a better job of, you know, writing it out, but we certainly discuss it, and it gives me an opportunity to weigh in on how I'm going to vote. So that's my words of advice.
Thank you very much. by the way, I hope as we go down the line here, we will still have time for discussion, because usually those are the most exciting or effective and helpful times. So we'll see whether we use up all the time with the panel just sort of making their first shots across the bow here for you. But before I move on, I would just mention that Senator Manning mentioned her son serving in the House, but she didn't mention that she is the second and he's the third member of the Manning triumvirate that has served in this General Assembly and served effectively, which is kind of a rare thing. So because her late husband started that groove, and then she picked it up, and then her son did. So next down the line, Representative Patterson. By the way, every panelist is from Northern Ohio. We have a disproportionate number of Ohioans up in the northern part of the state, despite the fact that we love the rest of the state as well. It's just how it worked out this morning. We had a southerner or two, but they have fled. Representative Peterson, would you take the next slot, please?
Well, it's good to be here this morning, and I come to you from, I am Northeast Ohio. You cannot get more north and more east than my district. So these guys are teasing me all the time about the longest drive. That's true. The most snow, that's true. The most wineries, that's also true. So never forget that. But I say that for this reason. Never, ever lose your sense of humor. You have to have fun doing this or it will drive you right up a tree. And you will find that you're going to be teasing your colleagues constantly across the aisle, and it just, it helps cement those relationships. So never take ourselves too seriously. As one of my former colleagues, I too was a former teacher, 29 years, coming out of the high school, so Gail and I share a lot in common with respect to education, but one of my mentors there said, remember, John, a billion Chinese could care less of anything you do or say. So always humbling to keep that in mind. But I want to pick up on a couple of things here. Senator Manning mentioned your aides, critically important. And think of them as someone you would trust with your life when you're doing your interviewing process, because you really are trusting them with your political life. But someone that becomes part of your family, someone that you learn to respect and love. It's just a fantastic experience. And then also know that the aides have a body amongst themselves too. They socialize together and they work together, and it's been fun to get to know the aides of other representatives too on the other side of the aisle. I think, for example, Sierra, Rep. La Tourette's aide, and my aide. I mean, we just have a wonderful working relationship, and it's just so special. So keep that in mind. And a quick word on relationships. And I had a conversation going out of the room just the other day with Speaker Rosenberger. Relationships are critically important. They're all built on trust, and we need trust amongst each other in order to decompress and listen to opinions, beliefs that may be different than our own, because they're all important, and then at times take a walk on that thin ice, because you trust somebody enough to do so. Do your homework first. But I want the conversation I had is to be more, I'm the social chair of the Democratic Caucus. I want to be more intentional of those critical events like bowling, laser tag, karaoke, some of those things that we have done, but it hasn't been purposeful enough. And I know that may sound a little elementary, but it's in those particular relationships that we put down our guard and see that we breathe the same air, drink the same water, we have so much in common, and we can actually have fun together. I mean, battle for your beliefs on the floor, but at the end of the day, we're still friends. We still all live in Ohio, and that's important never to forget. So I'm just letting you know, we're going to be more intentional about doing those social things outside to build the relationships that we need, which is important. Next thing I want to give you a little update about lobbyists. And have they been in yet to talk to you? Because they're coming.
They have their doors locked.
All right. Now, honestly, I'm going to defend them, all right? They get a bad rap sometimes because, you know, lobbyists are always out there for something. And you know, let's face it, you're going to get this. Everybody who meets you, hi, how you doing? And you don't know them, they want something, all right? It just depends how much.
Yeah.
And But lobbyists can be your best friend, too, politically, because they have information and they can bring knowledge to the table that we might not have. And I encourage you, and I've made a practice of this, any lobbyist that wants to come see me, I'm willing to listen. Even if it's an opinion that I don't have or hold, I need to know what they are thinking, what their view is. And I need to take that into my heart and in my soul and ponder that. Because they too have a role to fill. And they're trying to look out for their people. And that's what we're all doing, isn't it? So my point to you is listen to them, get to know them, and in fact, it's okay to socialize with them too, because they're human beings too. And keep in mind, some of them are giving up time away from their families to work here with us, and that's important. And a quick note here about families. Sometimes in our zest to serve, and all of you have that enthusiasm to serve, it's easy to put our loved ones and our friends on the back burner. I caution you, keep that balance. You were talking about, Representative, about going out and getting a cup of coffee and keep those relationships intact, because that is your base. That's your big base. And sometimes it's hard when they're at home and we're here. And now in my case, when I come down, I'm here. I don't commute. And there are times, especially during finance, Ron likes to keep us busy during finance for some reason. I'll be away from my wife for a whole week or so and check in as much as I can. But they don't always want to hear the details, and we need somebody to bounce those off. And likewise, sometimes we're so enveloped in our world here, we don't want to know what's going on in detail at home, if that makes sense. My point is, find that happy balance. Don't ever forget those folks, because sooner or later you're going back to that constituent, and it's important. So the temptation is to work hard and play hard down here, and that's important. But always remember to keep those fences mended and the fires burning at home, too.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to leave right now.
You're excused.
I have transportation committee, so.
I'm a former senator, so I'll do the best I can to swing now and then at the Senate
side. If it goes quickly, I'll come back.
All right. Thank you. Representative La Tourette, you're up.
Perfect. Before I tell you a little bit about myself, I do want to just mention, Senator Manning had mentioned that they are in caucus sometimes until midnight. To my new Republican House colleagues, we don't do that. We have a caucus chair that keeps us very on schedule, and we get in and we get out and we get our agenda accomplished.
But he's taking my job now, so he...
We'll
see what the next chair
does. Maybe something will happen. But as of right now, we have never been here until midnight in my 2 years here. So I just want to make sure to point that out. So my name is Sarah LaTourette. I represent the 76th District, which is up in Northeast Ohio. It's mostly Geauga, most of Geauga County. I share Geauga County with Representative Patterson. And then I have part of Portage County as well, which I share with Representative Clyde. I am currently serving as the Assistant Majority Whip, and next General Assembly I'll have the privilege of serving as our Assistant Floor Leader. It's my first term. It has been an amazing first term, and so I do want to give you a couple pieces of advice, and I'll have some stories to go along with them to hopefully make them make a little bit of sense. I guess my first piece of important advice would be, I know we all take ourselves really seriously, and we should. This is an important job. It's a job that we need to take seriously. But if you mess up, which you will, it's okay. My story that goes along with this is I was very excited to have my first bill passed. It was House Bill 6. It increased the statute of limitation on cases of rape and sexual battery. It was a good bill. I got up to give my first floor speech, extremely excited, very nervous. And when I went to thank my co-sponsor, I said on the House floor very audibly that I would like to spank my co-sponsor. Which then, obviously, everybody started chuckling. And it caused a little bit of embarrassment for me. I think I covered up okay, and I moved on, and I finished my speech. But on any bill to actually say the word spank when dealing with sexual battery and rape. Probably not the best bill. So that was my first time ever standing up and talking, and I was mortified. But I think I've gotten past it. And so when you do make that mistake, when you misspeak, whether it's on the House floor, it's in committee, it's in a meeting with a lobbyist or a colleague, they're going to forgive you. They're very kind. They might mock you for a little while. Then at a holiday party, I got a paddle as a gag gift. But it's going to be okay. And so do take yourself seriously. But when those moments happen, just kind of roll with them and realize it's going to happen, and it's really all right. My second piece of advice would be that communication really is everything. And Representative Patterson touched on this. But the example I'll use for that is, obviously, we all have very different opinions. And so I'm from the Republican caucus, and I'm sandwiched between two of my Democratic colleagues. And we don't agree on everything. And we're not going to sit up here and pretend that we agree on everything. And I introduced a bill. It was one of the first bills I introduced. And I'll say it was fairly controversial. It deals with Down syndrome and abortion. It was called the Down Syndrome Non-Discrimination Act. And I knew going into committee that it was going to be a difficult conversation for some people, because I knew that not everybody thinks like I think, and that it's a controversial topic for a lot of people. And so I made the time to make sure that I talked to all of the committee members before going into committee. I knew that that wasn't going to help them agree with me when I got to committee. I knew they'd still have some tough questions for me, and we would still disagree at the end of the day. But I really think that taking the time, whether it's with your colleagues or with lobbyists or with your constituents, to bridge that gap and have the conversation. Sometimes they're really hard conversations. I can't say they're always going to be easy, but it's going to make a huge difference on the back end. The bills that I've introduced that have actually made it through already, the work we did up front was why they were as successful as they were. Because if you take the time to talk to all the interested parties and hash out the issues, even if you know getting in the room is going to be, again, a tough conversation, there's going to be some controversy, not everyone's going to leave happy. If you take the time to do it, it's going to make a huge difference in the end of the day. And so I would always encourage you, whether or not you think the person's going to agree with you, you might think the person's a total idiot, sit down and talk to them, because you'll find out you have a lot more in common than you think you do. So those would be my two pieces of advice now that I've embarrassed myself again. But hopefully we'll have some time for some questions after this.
Thank you. As I transition to our next panelist, I have to create this little transition. The representative that just spoke, who's in leadership now and moving up in leadership in the next session, sort of glossed over something. That is a very rare thing to have a freshman elected by her colleagues into leadership, and it happened during this past year here, and because of some transition in leadership started a little bit before we got done with this session, and so it speaks highly of her. And I have to say, she, despite her effectiveness at this early start, it shouldn't be a shock, because she follows in the wake of her father, who I have to say, as a congressman for many years, was very, very effective. And of course, we lost him recently from this earth. But he actually probably was the key to me having the opportunity to serve in the Senate, in the sense that he was representing the northeast side of Cleveland. And well, can't go northeast, you're in the lake, the east side of Cleveland. And I was up there aspiring to get 25% of my district's endorsement in Cleveland. And I was from the southern end of the district, Wayne County. And so the leading contestant in the primary was president of council in a city in Cuyahoga County. So I'm up there, and he came Saturday morning and gave a speech for me, which I'll never forgot. I'm not sure how well he even knew me, but never was forgotten. And now, speaking of, shall we say, legacies, which I just did, the next speaker has a legacy, too. I wasn't going to introduce people, but I have to say that Ms. Boyd is not the first Boyd to serve in the House, and her mom served for many years and was a key, and I'm saying key, player in a welfare reform, very rare set of reforms that took place on a bipartisan basis by a very conservative legislator, and I don't know how to describe your mom. I'm not going to put a label on her. The other legislator was a very, very conservative Republican, and she was a very rare Democrat, I guess I'll say it that way, because she was right there in that whole process. And Janine has, in her private life, done so much to help lift people from not good places to places where they should be if they have the right help and the determination to get there. And as a legislator, she has done the same. So now that I've embarrassed her, Representative Boyd.
I'm like in your tears. That was so nice. Thank you, Representative Amsatz. So thanks. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to you and congratulations to all of you. So my amazing peers have all kind of touched on a lot of what I would have. So I'll just pick a few things that I don't think have been said. Your physical, emotional, spiritual care, your health, please pay attention to that. It is extremely important. You will be no good to your families at home when you get back to your districts or to your role here. So whatever you do, if it's yoga, if it's running, if it's walking, if it's meditating, if it's prayer, lighting a candle, whatever you do, please bring it down here or up here or over here when you come. It's extremely important. And I would say, too, stay in touch with your community. You know, where you have roots, that's what makes you. It's what drives you. So stay in touch with your community and as much in person as you can, if you're attending, so up where I'm from, ward club meetings and Democratic club meetings, having town halls just to talk about, you know, so for instance, at the end of the next budget, I'll have another town hall like I did the last time and just go over some of the major bills that get through and the kinds of debates and conversations around those bills that happen, just to keep people as informed as possible. Maya was raised to believe that every moment is a teaching moment and an opportunity to learn. So when you have those kinds of town halls and community meetings, you can learn from your residents as well as share with them what's going on in government and how things get passed. That's hugely important. And relationships, people have been talking about relationships, and they are so incredibly important. Representative LaTourette is absolutely right. She did. She made the rounds when she talked about the bill that she was able to pass through. I think it's coming to the floor soon. No? Not now. Okay, never mind. So anyway, but it did. It made progress because she did have those conversations. And as a result of those kinds of conversations, she and I have a shopping trip planned over break. We're going to our favorite boutique, and the relation again about relationships, Representative Amsatz. So I feel like I've created a new, like my own relationship that has nothing to do with my mom, with Representative Amsatz. My fiance is from his district, and so hopefully one of these Christmases I can grab him and introduce him to people who've been voting for him for as long as he's been in office, I know, right? So it is extremely, extremely important to build relationships and remember that. I think this week we've had a lot of farewells to people termed out and moving on. And from a collection of some of the remarks of those individuals, I gathered one really strong statement, and that was, there were so many, but this one really hit me and it stuck with me, that we aren't just representing people who voted for us, we are them. We are people who care for our ill or aging family members. We are people who run businesses or teach. We are people who have families. We are people who have had the fortune of being able to become parents or who have struggled and not been able to become parents yet. We are people who've had to make very difficult choices, personal, spiritual choices in our lives. So remember that when we're looking at each other and we don't agree, that we are still the people that we represent. And so to be sensitive, my grandma always told me, you never know what somebody else is going through. and to try to approach people that way. I think it's hugely important. So I wanted to say those things before I forgot. And so my name's Janine, and I'm from House District 9. You all are welcome anytime. I'd love to welcome you to House District 9. It's Cleveland Heights, Shaker Heights, University Heights, and Wards 2 and 4 of Cleveland. And I'm excited to work with you. Please never hesitate to reach out to me if I can be any assistance at all on either side of the aisle. Also, I'm a Hillsdale College grad. If you read your imprimis, so do I. But I look forward to serving with you, and thanks for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you very much to each of you on the panel and the one who has vacated her seat. I'm going to editorialize just a little bit. We do have some time yet, and since we've lost about half the panel, I'm going to pretend to be a panelist a little bit, too, for a little bit here, if you don't mind. And then we'll do what I really look forward to, and that's, what do you want to talk about that, you know, we've already maybe started some conversation on here. You know, it's been mentioned several times here about this network of relationships. And so I'm going to just throw a few thoughts across the bow on that as well. Obviously, we represent those who've chosen us to represent them. As well as some others that don't vote, you know, we still have that responsibility. But I just wanted to add that, you know, in a very interesting way, these evil lobbyists actually are representatives as well, and frequently and most often represent some of your constituents as well, you know, in a specialized way, whether it's in the, you know, some professional line or some, you know, business group and Chamber of Commerce. I mean, there's a whole it's mind-boggling how many interest groups care about, you know, what goes on in Columbus because it impacts their lives and your constituents' lives. So that's another way of thinking about things. But at the end of the day, as was also said, it is about trust. So it isn't just about, you know, slapping people on the back and getting to be buddies and then doing things that you shouldn't do because you're friends. That's not what this relationship business is about either. So you have to build trust. And one of the things I've observed over the years, there's a healthy aspect to not being too naive in those relationships. And further, there is sort of a pressure point that's pretty big hanging over all those lobbyists, because that trusting relationship might develop over a period of a couple of years, but it can be blown in 5 minutes. If they give you some bad information or information that's way out of context and don't reveal that to you, and you get in trouble, you're not going to trust them again for a long time. And they know that, if they're good, and most of them are. So those are some thoughts to maybe keep in mind there. It was mentioned several times by all the panelists that, you know, we need to sort of protect our health, and I think of that not just in terms of physical health or even emotional health, but the total picture. And in fact, it's difficult, and you know, we've kind of moved into I'm going to philosophize for a little bit, which is dangerous, but we've moved into sort of a technocracy where, you know, the revised code has become extremely detailed on so many aspects of life, and it belies the fact that there's some things that are so important that you just frankly cannot legislate. And yet, what we do as legislators can have a catalytic effect, if you will, on trying to help our state be a better place. And there's a whole range of thoughts and viewpoints within the legislature on, you know, how to get there, and there are many attention. They don't find agreement. So those are things you have to work out for yourself, and I think many of you through the campaign process have already, and previous service and experiences that you bring, will be well prepared to parse through and figure that out. Can I talk about specializing for a little bit? Because as was mentioned, the range of topics that come forward legislatively is pretty much anything you can think of in the world, it seems. So one of my frustrations is I have a wide range of interests, and so it's tempting to start grabbing at everything that's moving, which puts you on water skis across the surface of so many issues that you never get deep enough to actually channel any of them into action. So I would highly recommend, and some of you I won't have to, you're already very passionate on a subject area that allows you to focus there, and you're going to focus there and become a specialist, and that's a way to become very effective. So don't shy away from saying, well, I'm not going to try to do everything. I have this area that I bring experience and passion to, and I'm going to work that area as it relates to legislation. That's fine. But it's worth thinking about. And a corollary to that I was given in my orientation many years ago was, and I don't really totally agree with this, but it's probably a mistake not to. I was advised to make a choice, because there's two kind of legislators in simplistic terms. Those who absolutely work their constituent issues and are so focused on staying in direct touch and reactive to and serving the unofficial role of a legislator, which is to help solve problems, with getting caught up in government, in bureaucracies and things at the state level and sometimes even beyond at the local level, that they don't really do much in the legislative arena. They are a vote and they do some work, but that's just not what you do. So that's one kind. And that can really endear you to and connect you in deep ways with your district constituents. The other approach would be more the policy wonk that, is really focused on moving legislation and making it better, or even carrying your own ideas and working with the policy side of the legislative process. And I was advised to try to do both will damage your ability to be effective in either area. I always have tried to have some balance there and not be too far in one direction or the other. So I didn't really agree with that advice, but it's worth thinking through, what kind of legislator are you going to be? Where do you want to really put your effort? Because those things are not different worlds. They're connected. You're going to get a lot of ideas that from constituents and problems that suggest a legislative solution. So those are not mutually exclusive. So having said that, I want to say a little bit more about the idea of the minority-majority relationship. Right now, you're in a transition period, and there is a natural, I think, for many, tendency, and it's a positive one, to be really bipartisan, because, this class will always be closer than any of the other members of the General Assembly. You have a bond coming in together that puts you in a different arrangement that's a little closer, almost like twins, in a family. Well, sometimes that doesn't go well. But anyway, I served for many years in the minority from 1981 through 1994. So I have a lot of background in the minority status, and then things flipped over, and I've been experiencing the majority side since then. And it's a fascinating relationship. So I would suggest that there's a very healthy set of dynamics that can happen in the majority-minority relationship. But it doesn't, we never have achieved that ideal, I would say. But it's not, terrible here. I've seen, it's different in the House and the Senate, by the way. Every session has a different personality based on leadership on both sides of the aisle. And so I don't know what it's going to be like next year in the Senate. Don't even know for sure in the House, although we have the same speaker and same minority leader, I believe. Although, have you voted yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've settled your leadership as well. And they do set the tone quite a bit. There is a very healthy role for the minority to point out the fact that, you've given some really good positive points here, but there's other sides to this story that need to be brought out and perhaps even reflected in some of the final legislative product that might come forward. So those are thoughts that I would just put across the bow there. I'll never forget one of the places you'll spend a fair amount of time is over in the Athletic Club of Columbus. I was at one of the many receptions you'll be invited to where you network a little bit, work on those relationships, both with your constituents and others. And a member from Cleveland of the Senate was sort of making talk around we were gathering some food for put on our plates, and he said, now we're moving into election season, and we're going to switch from being, you know, working together to do policy, and we're going to now be competitors. We're going to be in campaign mode, and we're going to fight. And then after it's over, we'll come back together, and we'll be friends again. Now, that isn't always easy to do, to make those transitions. But it's worth thinking about. And in the minority-majority relationship, it's especially important. Budget process. Well, you're going to have a session on that in a little bit over lunch. I'm not sure yet if I can get back from committee. I have two committees going on here that's starting in 6 minutes. But I hope to, because I have a great love for the budget process. It's something that I would have a few things to say about. It can be improved, and you as incoming freshmen will be aghast at the range of things that come rolling in the door in the budget, to the point where you're going to go look in the Constitution and say, is there really a phrase in there that says every bill must have a single subject? And as it relates to the budget, it's an aspiration that has been perhaps not ever fully achieved in recent times. I won't go into that now because I want to get into discussion. What questions would you have or thoughts that you'd like further explanation on of our panel here?
I have a question.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
When you guys first came in, we had the swearing in. Could you give us a little idea of how you did it? With your family and...
Well, I guess, so for me, my entire family came down, which is an amazing thing. And I know that the speaker opens it up so you can do the individual swearing-ins before we do our big group swearing-in, which is a nice thing to be able to do. I honestly didn't take advantage of that, and I should have. But I would recommend having your family here. I think it's a great thing for them to see. There's going to be a lot of activity that day. It's going to be a crazy day. You'll need to warn them that you're not going to get to be with them for a good chunk of that day. But that I think it's great for them to come here and watch you. We get sworn in as a group, technically, on the House floor, and so that will be one of the ceremonies. But as I mentioned, the speaker has been very gracious at opening up the chamber to let you do a little bit beforehand as well. Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't remember what else we did that day.
We took pictures. We had, like, our official House picture taken. So that's why you're, like, all over the place. LSC is amazing, and, just all of our – everyone that puts all this on is amazing. So – they've got you. You'll know where you're supposed to go, and you'll get everything done that you're supposed to get done. But yeah, it's a good idea to tell your families that they'll be on their own for a minute. But by then, too, you may have some staff that you have interviewed or hired. And
did you book rooms?
Oh yes.
How did you?
Yeah.
Repeat the question, because not everybody's hearing. Yeah. So if you wouldn't mind when you respond.
It sounds like the question is, how do you prepare for the swearing day, right? The big day. Yeah. So yes, hotel arrangements would be a good idea. So I'm from Cleveland by the lake, and snow is often an issue. So, you know, check your weather because you might have to leave the day before. And so you'll have to make plans accordingly, just depending on where you're coming from and how it is down here, too, or here in Columbus. I'm a weather checker nonstop because of where we live. Invite whoever for my swearing in, actually, my mom's health was not in a place where she could travel, and the weather was bad. So I didn't want her to take the risk, and my dad. So my family that's here, thank God, Baruch Hashem, that I get to stay with when I'm here, they were able to be here, and my mayor was here for a conference too, and so she swore me in. It was awesome to do my individual swearing. But so yeah, hotel arrangements for sure. There's a lot of great restaurants. Make reservations if you have big parties that are in the area. And you can ask anybody that works at the Rife or the State House, any of us, you know, restaurant and hotel recommendations. The closer to the Capitol, the better. You can just walk and leave your car, not have to park multiple places. It's amazing. It's a little overwhelming, like Representative Lotterette said, but it's really amazing. Very huge honor. It's very humbling. Like you're kind of awestruck when it's all happening, you know. And the speaker, yes, I have a great relationship with our speaker too. He's a great guy. He made the rounds and met, you know, family members that were in the on the floor when we were getting ready to get sworn in, and he gave my younger cousin I can't remember what those were. It was like
his challenge coin.
Yeah, the coin. And you just get to meet everybody, and it's great. And I wanted to tell you guys too, really build relationships as freshmen. It's really awesome if you build relationships as freshmen with people that, you know, you may not necessarily naturally agree on every issue, but like one of my bills right now I'm doing with one of my freshman friends that's a Republican, and we have had a blast and have really gotten to know each other and found this huge cause. It's kinship care that we're doing together, and you know, and we were freshmen together. This is when we started cracking jokes. This is when we met at orientation. So take advantage of this opportunity too.
Peterson, go ahead.
Add something to that. Families, your personal family is going to become our family. And just want to share something with you. The day Rep. LaTourette's was sworn in, her family came down, and her dad pulled me aside in the back of the chamber. Remember this conversation? Mm-hmm. He said, "Look after my girl," and I promised him I would. And obviously, I did a pretty good job. Leadership, even if it's on the other side of the aisle, I'll take some credit there.
That's right.
But I've gotten to know Rep. LaTourette's husband, yes, her beautiful, beautiful child, and felt part of that whole process is she was going through that preparatory stages for motherhood. Those family relations, your family needs to know what you're going through so that they can, yes, better appreciate. But we also need to know your spouses, your significant others, your kids, and because it adds more depth to who we are and it helps build those relationships. And we're going to be asking, how are your kids doing? Where are they now? And how's it like being a grandparent? Because that's part of who we are. So bring them so we can meet them.
And if I could just sort of summarize that, because that's a good, you know, we're in transition now. You know, in my mind, there's kind of three parts to the getting sworn in thing. Maybe there's four, but one is, you know, back in the district, most of you, maybe probably all of you will have something that you can get involved in that's a sort of a swearing in. You can get sworn in many times for the same office to which you're about to go into. Only one of them will be the official one, and you can kind of pick which one that is. And I would suggest, it's hopefully something that won't click into gear, but I would suggest you do it at one of the early ones, actually, once you have your certificate of election. That being the rare possibility, God help us all, that you should pass, your family would get the compensation for that term, I believe. Is that still the case statutorily? I've been advised that's the case. So that's kind of a weird thing, you know, a thing that nobody aspires to, but it, you know, life is fragile, I've learned over the time. So that's one time, you know, so it could be, that doesn't have to be at your big soiree back in the district either. It can be, you know, with just somebody that's officially able to administer the oath to you and sign the document, which needs to be filed with the clerk along with your certificate of election. Maybe not in that order, but so that, you know, and then you can have swearing in. That's kind of the opening day is a very special day. It is the one ceremonial day that, you know, in the rest of it's like work, but you're going to pass a lot of resolutions, but they're just housekeeping things. There's nothing significant. It's all about the experience of that first day. And you'll get a chance to be sworn in front of the at the front of the House chambers individually with your family there and whoever you choose to administer the oath before we actually do go into session. And so then when you go into session, and I think this is true in the Senate too, you know, then they'll be, you'll be called down in a gang, you know, and there'll be a series of gangs of folks, I think it's just by district number, you know, 99 is close to 100, so 100 divided by 10 is, you know, probably 10 at a time or something, and you'll be down there and you'll take the oath again. There's nothing wrong with that, you know, we need to give our word now and then, frequently. But anyway, only one of them's official.
And then which one did you have signed the documents? Would that be the final one?
It can be which. I was suggesting you might do it at the, you know, earliest opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's an amendment coming, I think. And that's also a warning for the future, because when you're on the floor and in camera view, it's constant.
Yes.
You know, whoever's speaking is going into a database, a video database that will be available, not just live at the time, but in perpetuity. So be careful and graceful and you know. All right. What else? We had a long talk there.
May I segue into something that kind of ties in with being sworn in and
sure.
probably something that's on your mind, living arrangements.
Mm. Have you already had a session on that? No?
All right. Let's just, there are lots of, because I know that it's got to be in the back of your mind. It was my mind coming as far as I do. There are a lot of hotels in the area, you can check those out, and there are clusters of hotels. A lot of them stay at the DoubleTree, the German Village Inn, south on High Street. But I have found, and that's how I started too, but the distance that I travel, and we mentioned the weather, sometimes I will come down early and leave late because
mm-hmm.
I'm going right through the snow belt.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually share a real Spartan apartment with John Rogers, Rep. Rogers in Lake County. It's a one bedroom. His bed is in the bedroom and mine is out in what would be the living room. We do not know if the dishwasher works. We do not know if the range works. I can tell you the microwave does. It's like college. You open the fridge and there's water and candy bar,
butter,
something like
bread.
That. Bread is in there today. But the rent, we worked it out that we split, is actually cheaper, depending on your committee. If you're on finance, you're going to spend a lot of time down here, probably
yes.
not your first term, but depending on the rhythm of the year, doing the math, it may be cheaper to have an apartment. So you can make those arrangements, so you can have a toothbrush that you don't have to run out and buy in the middle of the night if you get stuck down here, extra clothes, that sort of thing. And there are affordable arrangements here within really close distance of the Capitol. I would recommend, if you want more information, we can have an offline conversation about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to, and here's the other thing, too. We share and we'll spend time, those of you in roommate situations, late at night talking about legislation and that sort of thing. That's valuable as well. It's also part of the decompression process, too. And it helps to cement relationships. You're going to need somebody, some soulmate, that is very close that you can call anytime, day or night, when you're at your breaking point. And those sorts of intense living arrangements do help that to take place. I was wondering how the other members of the panel felt about that, if we could.
Anybody else want to hold forth?
I mean, I would just totally agree with what he said. I ended up getting an apartment, well, actually, right before I was elected, which was very scary, because had I lost my race, I would have been in a bit of trouble for 2 years. But I got an apartment. It's about 2 miles away from the State House, and it has been my saving grace, because I absolutely agree. Now, I don't have a roommate, because I've learned I don't do very well with roommates.
You mean your husband never comes down?
Oh, he does come occasionally. Yeah. Actually, right now, my husband and son are here. But I would highly recommend at least looking into that option if you're traveling the long distance that all of us are, because it has come in handy many times to be able to just decide to stay because we ended up in session until midnight or something of those lines. And I can absolutely confidently say, even without a roommate, I have saved money having my apartment over being in a hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, I'm very fortunate that I have the closest thing I've ever had to a sister lives here and works at Otterbein. And so I still am doing a bit of a commute. She lives in Westerville, and I'm able to stay with her there. So like my traffic today coming in was like 49 minutes long to get from a town that's really 15 minutes over from downtown Columbus. But I thank God every day I hugged her and kissed her, and I bring wine, and it's just like we're sleepovers from when we were in high school again. So it's a huge blessing. But when the weather's bad, and so again, I'm from the east side of Cleveland. I'm used to a lot of snow, lake effect snow. So when it gets bad down here or in Columbus, what I've noticed is that they handle it a little bit differently than we do at home. So it's not quite as they've not quite mastered it the way we have at home. So it's still a little touch and go. It makes me a little nervous sometimes, especially if we are in session really late. So I will stay at the Holiday Inn or on those late nights when the weather is still not great, even here, I'll just get a room. It's worth it. So if the closer you can stay, the better. I'm not the best resource for apartment opportunities. I could tell you the cheapest hotels for sure. There's a couple that might give you pause. It might give you pause.
It's been a while since they had a murder there.
That's right.
Right. But my mom stayed there. She stayed at one of them.
They do charge by the night now, no longer by the hour.
My mom stayed. There's one. It's the GVI, German Village Inn. My mother stayed, and so did like a whole host of, and they would have meetings. It's questionable. It's questionable location.
Downhill.
But the price was right. It's like $25 a night or something.
No, 46.
Oh, it's 46. It went up to 46. That's probably the first increase in, I don't know how long, a decade. But there are affordable options. And then a couple of my colleagues told me they go on hotel.com and they score deals of the day sort of thing. So yeah, I'm not the problem, but for hotels I can help you out, but for I wouldn't know the first thing about apartments.
And I do think every legislator has to customize your arrangements to your situation, and it does vary. But I will say, being conservative in many ways, I actually roomed with another guy, a legislator, most of my time down here, and I'm not sorry about that. Mm-hmm. George DeWilliger, God rest his soul, was one of my best friends here for 8 years while he was here. And I roomed with another House member from my area while I was in the Senate, and as examples. So yeah, that can be a good thing if you get along with people. But if you need that space all by yourself and some solace, it sometimes could be a problem. All right. Well, that went on and on, but I think that might have been productive. Other questions or thoughts?
Get back to the swearing in.
No.
And with your family, you're able to choose who you would like to have swear you in. You mentioned the mayor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it could be clergy. It could,
Now, if you use the one here as your official swearing in, it obviously has to be somebody that's qualified to technically swear you in. But absolutely. And the one thing that I should have mentioned, I know we all get a certain amount of passes that you're able to bring a certain amount of family members to come with you, and that they'll be up in the gallery, and there's obviously limited space. Mm-hmm. There are some members that don't use all their passes, and so they'll be kind of put back in a pool to share with those that want to bring more people. But in my case, we actually brought a bus full of people up from my district with my family included, and so we had nowhere near enough tickets for all of them. But there are other places they can go and watch the swearing in, so they can feel like they're here and they're a part of the day. They can attend some of the receptions. if you don't have enough tickets for them. And so I think that there is always a way to make sure you're able to bring the people that are most important to you, even though there's limited space.
They'll have a video feed to a large screen.
Yeah,
there's a large. Can you elaborate on the receptions?
Those vary. We can't really
predict
exactly.
Yeah, I'm not
exactly.
sure what they'll look like this year, but there, I think there was a lunch reception and a couple other just opportunities to gather
you'll
with each
know.
Other.
You'll know. You'll get
Yeah, you'll get information.
You'll get all that in plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, to decide.
Okay.
As far as that evening, if you wanted to go celebrate with your family, what would, as far as making reservations, what would be your advice? Stay like 7 o'clock in the evening? Is there a time you'd say, hey, don't do it too early because you're still going to be busy at the State House?
That won't be a really long day.
Yeah, it's not a long
legislatively.
Day.
Legislatively, let's see what time.
The only thing I would be flexible. Like I had forgotten about the receptions. There will be receptions you might want to attend. I can't remember.
I would think you'd be out of there by 5 easy.
That's
That's a guess.
Yeah, I would make the reservations early.
Yeah, just just early, and then just be you might want to go to, because I remember weren't there receptions in hotels too? Some people.
It varies from year to year, or session to session.
So, there'll be a lot of options.
You'll have options,
But none of it's other than session is really mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
Over here.
Yeah. Question I had for the swearing in the morning, if you're early, I had a conversation with the speaker's staff, and he's going to be there in the morning to just do the individual swearing in.
Mm-hmm.
During the individual swearing.
During the individual
yeah.
swearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not in session. Yeah. You're not in session during that ceremonial
correct.
Swearing in.
If I have 15 folks, say, that come, we could all be up there on the floor.
Right.
You'll be in line because they do,
Yeah.
Yeah, but it goes pretty fast.
So really the way that works is we will quite literally line up around the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
So first come, first serve, get in line early. And you will wait in line for one person to go up and take their picture and have their ceremonial swearing in. They'll move along, and then the next people will file in. And so it takes a while, but absolutely you can bring the people that are important to you up there during that one.
That's kind of fun to watch others getting sworn in, too.
It is. Right? It's cool.
Yeah.
I actually chose a location in the State House under a Red Tails. It's a portrait of a fighter from the Red Tails in World War II that my mother had brought back to the State House, and since she couldn't be there, I had my individual swearing in under that portrait so that I could have a nice photo of it for her, framed for her. So there's other beautiful areas that you could even choose to have your individual swearing in that might be meaningful to you.
And that could be your third one of the day.
Mm-hmm. Or your third
one, you
right.
You know, you don't have to just do two, I'm saying. So, please. If you want to wait till the last minute, yes, I think so. Yeah. Oh, the question was, could we use the last of the multiple swearings in, being the group swearing in where there's a group standing down and taking the oath, and that can be official, yes. I wouldn't worry about notarization. No.
No.
It just has to be somebody that's legally
eligible.
Able to administer
right.
the oath, which is
right.
is a pretty small subset of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
The question is, who is legally able to administer the oath? And I am not going to answer that because I do not want to pass along inaccurate information. I'm sure we can have that answered for you and the whole group before you, probably before lunch. But I don't know if Mr. Flanders knows off the top of his head either, so I'm not going to put him on the spot. Good question. That one didn't get a quick answer, though. Yes, sir.
One more question. The real, the raw, and the relevant. Give us the do's and don'ts.
On what now?
On anything?
Anything.
Oh.
The question is, give us a list of do's and don'ts, and who wants to go first?
Gosh.
Right.
I mean, I'll give you a don't if you guys are good to go first. Don't take things overly personally. Don't take things too personally. I think that we all have legislation that we are really passionate about. We just had a wonderful bill pass off the floor this week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got the vote counts afterwards, and you see all the people that vote against your bill. And it is hard when it's something that means so much to you to see people vote against it when you can't understand why their reasoning for voting against it. And I think it's easy to take that personally, mm-hmm. but don't. Try to get past that. They don't mean it personally. It's obviously something that they don't believe in or they don't think is going to help their district, or perhaps they think it's going to hurt their district. And so just make sure that you're not internalizing a lot of that.
And do, I think what I said earlier, do remember that all of us are not just representing people, but we are the people that we represent. Like I said, you never know what someone else is going through. And it goes to what Representative Latourette just said. It'll help you not take things personally. You know, once you get to know someone and where they come from a bit, then you have an idea. Okay, so, you know, Janine voted no, but I know she probably is just thinking about this, or she's thinking she probably has a different way. You know, she probably had a different way about this. And then the more conversations you have with people, you know where they're coming from and why they may vote that way too. So, do remember that we're each human and we each have, you know, some sort of experience that brings us here to do this work, this really important work, and that, you know, we have opinions and we represent people who've given us ideas too, all of us, different ideas. So do remember that we're each here very much the people that we represent. Not just representing them, but also we are those people.
I want to drill down a little bit deeper on that, too. You're going to hear some impassioned floor speeches, especially, I know this is hard to believe, but we'll argue about money. How to raise it, how to spend it, just like home. But keep in mind, some of those speeches, they may be arguing for their district, and it may not be a belief that they personally hold, but they're doing That's their job. Mm-hmm. So again, you have to have that disconnect between the person that you know and love and respect and the position that they take. So that's hard to do, but it's what makes this place work, having that respect and respecting the institution, respecting the tradition, respecting the body. And I want to give you an example, and think about this. The colors, you've been in the chamber already, right? Mm-hmm. What's the color of the wall? Salmon, let's go with pink. Right. Okay, do you ever think? History lesson here. It's chosen for a reason. It's not calming. Well, it could be. What are the two colors that make pink? Red and white. Red for passion and white for purity. So it's my wish for you to retain that passion while being pure in your belief of yourself and your constituents.
That's why I love him. It's so awesome serving with people that know things like that.
I'm not convinced you didn't make that up, but I think it's
really good. Work with it.
It's a really good story.
You don't have time to think about things
totally
like that.
I totally believe that.
If I could just throw out one more do, I would really encourage you all to lean on your leadership team. We're here for a reason, and we want you to be successful. The speaker, one of the best things he did for me, and I think they've done it for years, is they hook you up with a mentor, somebody that can really show you the ropes. They try to match you with somebody that you have similar interests with or that they think can really help you develop as a legislator. And that was so beneficial to me, to be able to lean on my mentor, which is also the co-sponsor that I threatened to spank on the floor. So she was extremely helpful to me. But our leadership team as a whole, I mean, they have so much information, and they are so very helpful at the beginning. And to kind of tie into that, as you have legislation, there's going to be a lot of legislation that moves through quickly or that moves through that you don't agree with. The best advice I can give you is I think there's all these unwritten rules that we should probably all start following at some point, or at least have the conversation. And a lot of that would involve, if there is a bill sponsor, for example, and they feel very strongly about that bill, but you would disagree with it with all you have in you, make sure you talk to the bill sponsor about it. Because if you try to add an amendment to that bill, or you try to go around them and lobby against the bill without having a conversation with the bill sponsor themselves, that's really not going to get you anywhere. So I would always be very, very cognizant of the fact that when people introduce legislation, they do it because they are passionate about it. And most of them are willing to have the conversation and potentially even change their legislation throughout the process. But if you're just going to go entirely around them, that's really not the way to do business. And I've seen it happen a few times, and it leads to some not very good situations. So I would make sure that you're very cognizant of not only talking with your leadership team about issues that are important to you when you agree or disagree with bills that are moving through, but make sure you always communicate with the bill sponsor as well.
And if I could add to that, because what she's laying out for you is really important. There, it's very easy to fall into reactive mode as a legislator, where all of a sudden it dawns on you that, I should be, this is something that needs work because it's going in a direction that I'm not comfortable with, and it's too late because you've already, the vote's going to be today, and the things come out of committee, try to develop, and this is not easy, but try to develop an active understanding and practice of being proactive, and not just in the generic sense, but there's a proactive set of, I think they're referred to as rules, but again, this is a giant relationship here, and you need to figure out how to be effective in that relationship that's going on inside the General Assembly. It's a little bit different for the minority and the majority, but not really radically. There's basic proactive things that there's a legislative process that plays out on each piece of legislation. And yes, sometimes they move fast, but usually they don't move real fast. But identifying, and people can help advise you on, that bill, based on what they know, is likely to probably move forward, because a lot of bills won't. They're statements, but they never really get traction. So try to identify that bill, and if it's something you care about or you feel like, because of your district or whatever, you want to have some impact on it. Some legislators become fix-it people. They don't necessarily have a lot of their own bills, but they help other bills get better. And in the minority, that's probably especially important advice. But other members will carry legislation, too. Figure out how to be proactive as much as you can. Sometimes you just absolutely can't, but a lot of times you are relying on information flow. Communication, over-communication is not a bad thing as long as you don't take it to the extreme, because when you're busy and you're going to be very busy, it's easy to miss something or not get that communication going or hearing of the communication when you need to figure out how to be involved in legislation at the right time rather than too late. And then you go into negative mode, which, sometimes you have to do that. That's part of the process, too. But do it when it's appropriate and not in a way that actually probably doesn't help the process.
Could I add something to what you just said?
Yes.
Keep in mind, and I know this sounds kind of simplistic, but there's a back stairway that connects floors 14 to 10. Know where it is and feel free to use it. There are times, especially, and this is reality, when you're in a deep minority as we are, it would be easy just to stay on the 10th floor. But, and I know Rep. LaTourette can attest to this, because when she's not expecting it, because we share the same county, we overlap, I'll be up on her floor at times talking to her aide or in her office. We have that kind of relationship because we share the same people. Mm-hmm. Remember, the stairway goes up, the stairway goes down. Feel free to pop in on somebody informally without an invitation when you need to have those conversations. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And it really helps because it is about relationships and communication and moving forward.
Thank you. I'd hand back here.
What kind of understanding do you have with your families at home about what days of the week will you be home, being able to do stuff with them, are there weeks out of the year that you know you'll be able to take vacations? Explain kind of that juggling act.
So I have an 8-month-old, at home. And my first piece of advice would be, do not have a child during your first term. I love him dearly, and I would not change him for anything, but my goodness, it added a little bit of complexity to last year. The balance is really important, though. So I'm in a unique situation where my mother-in-law was living with us for a little while, and she was actually able to travel to Columbus with me, with him, which was just an amazing thing. So I didn't have to pick at first. But we release the schedule, and granted it's always subject to change, but you will get the schedule for the first half of the year, I believe, here in the next few weeks. And so you'll know when we're going to have session. You can assume that if it's a session week, your committees will be meeting, and so I would assume you'd be here on Tuesday and Wednesday at a minimum of those weeks, unless you're on finance, and then you might be here for a little bit longer. So I would let them expect to have you here Tuesday and Wednesday, and to be fairly tied up, because even when we're not in session, a lot of committees will continue to meet, but you'll be well aware of when we're going to have significant breaks in session. If it's an election year, we have a little bit longer of a break than we do in the other year, but all of that's going to be laid out very far in advance. So as far as vacations or trying to make sure you're there for your kids and things that are important to them, that's very easy to plan around, because we do try to do it so far in advance.
Can I just say to you, even if you're not on finance, this is the biennium budget, so please expect to be here a lot. I was not on finance, and I had four committees, and I was here a lot. So I have a 13-year-old stepdaughter at home, and it's challenging. You want to make it to all the competitions and events and award ceremonies for them. It can be a challenge. So you just do your best when you are at home. And we do get an awesome spring break, which I'm already looking forward to. But you earn it. You earn the breaks that we get, for sure.
I would add that there is a feast and famine cycle in the legislature, even for the legislators, not maybe quite as much for the staff, but even there for them. I would say that you need to customize your family relationship to what's right for you. And I would say, looking back on my own experience, because I wasn't even married when I came down here in 81, and then I got married, and then a number of years later had children, and all the time I was in the legislature. You've heard this over and over again, and I probably thought it would never be something I would say, but the truth is, I wish I would have been a little more disciplined in making sure that I was not only present with my family, but that I was really connected with them when I was with them sometimes, because I love my work, and it's easy to sometimes kind of be there, but not really be there too. So there is that. I would suggest you find maybe one or two people that are experienced in the legislature and keep in touch with them when you get that schedule, because the schedule is a good starting point. And by the way, that didn't even start until 1996 or 95 was the first time we had that 6-month schedule. And before that, it was like power was shared with the members when that was started. It does affect, it's somewhat of a sharing out of the power when that schedule is made, but it's been very helpful, and that will help you. And then your committee assignments will be a factor, and when they meet and when they're going to be busy, and also again your decisions of how you're going to legislate. If you're doing a lot of constituent work and you have an effective staff person working for you, you can do a lot of that from the district in connection with your staffer down here. So you don't have to be down here as much when you're doing that kind of work. If you're doing legislative work, some of that can be done that way too, but sometimes you have to, legislators are conveners of interested parties, and so you have to be where they are. Sometimes that's in your district and sometimes it's not. There's a lot more that can be said. Did you want to add something?
Sync your cell phone calendar with your spouse and actually schedule, and I know this sounds barbaric, but you're going to have to do it. Schedule time with him or her on it. Block the day off. That is your time. Your aide doesn't call unless it's an extreme emergency. But if you're not intentional about that, it's easy to get lost in the swamp.
Especially if you have tendencies towards being addicted to work. All right. Well, we have reached the end of our time together. It's been enjoyable to me, at least, and I hope you found it useful. And we thank you for what you're doing to serve and to prepare yourself to serve even better. I have to confess that over the years, once we started these things, and these things started when the wave of term limits from the Constitution hit in 2001, I have tried to come to every one of them because it is a golden opportunity for existing members to get to know the incoming members in ways that will be harder once we, you know, get to work. So I'm glad that these opportunities are available to you, and I hope our little session together here will be useful to you. And if things work out, I'm not sure they will, I'm going to try to come to lunch to hear again, once again, how to do budgeting. So thank you. Oh, if I could, just for 30 seconds, maybe, your question has been dutifully answered by someone who has much more expertise than I on this. And the official time that you get sworn in can be any judge, common pleas, municipal court, appellate, Supreme Court. That's one category. A notary public, a sitting state representative, and I think that's the list. If you want to do a mayor or a clergy or somebody like that, you can do it, but don't make that the official one because it will not count, as I'm told. Okay? And if you have further questions about that, there's expert staff around going forward that will help you just to make sure you understand that. Right, Jack? All right. Thank you. We're done.